Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat Live from the Intel Developer Forum. It's day two of live casting from IDF. I'm Allison Klein. Today I'm joined by Mario Panacea, Intel Fellow and GM of Silicon Photonics. Welcome, Mario.
Welcome. Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So, Mario, you have been talking about silicon photonics for a long time at Intel, and I want to talk to you about the progress we've made in the industry, but you brought a celebrity guest along with you today. Do you want to introduce him?
Yes, I have Andy Bechtolsheim here, who's the founder of not only Sun Microsystems, but the founder and chairman of Arista Networks, which just recently went public. Welcome, Andy.
Pleasure to be here.
Welcome, Andy, and it's a pleasure to have you on the show. I'm very honored, and you were out on the stage at the keynote today at IDF with Diane Bryant talking about the need for 100 gig and a product that you guys released. Do you just want to give the audience a sense of what that's all about?
So our largest customer base is actually the large cloud service providers that are building enormous size data centers with hundreds of thousands of servers. And the newly accepted network topology in these large clouds is a fully interconnected mesh where each server has, maybe it's 10 gigabit per server, but they're equally connected to all other servers. So by the time you have hundreds of thousands of servers, you actually need petabits and petabits of aggregate throughput to perform the complete interconnection. Mm-hmm. And this has all kinds of benefits to the application writers because they don't have to worry about data placement and where something is running because everything looks completely uniform across the entire cloud.
So when you get to 100 gigabits, obviously we get to the limits of what copper can do. So how have you guys looked at the physical interconnects for that product?
So before I go there, I mean, today people use typically 10 gig to the server and 40 gig to the backbone. Mm-hmm. But obviously it's much better to build these large capacities with 100 gigabit interconnect it's just the best way mm-hmm. to build large networks. And we have some initial products on the market. We have a rack-top switch we announced recently that is the first product with 100 gig QSFP uplink, and we mm-hmm. have line cards on our modular chassis that have 100 gig QSFPs. But quite frankly, the biggest challenge today is the cost of these optics, and they cost significantly more than the underlying silicon cost. And for that reason, 100 gig won't be mainstream until these 100 gig optics become basically cost effective.
Now, in the keynote, it was almost presented that 100 gigabit was surprising that it's time for 100 gigabit. Why do you think that is in terms of the broad industry seeing this as something that's right for today?
Well, the cloud service providers wanted 100 gigabit 10 years ago. In mm-hmm. fact, I remember an IEEE meeting in 2007, where people were arguing that, let's just skip 40 gig and go straight to 100 because we really need the higher speed. But we're actually very lucky to have done the 40 gigabit because that was available sooner, cost effectively, and that's what's being deployed today. But ultimately, people want to go faster, and ultimately, 100 gigabit will be more cost competitive than 40 gig, but it is a function of the total system cost.
And I think, if you think about what's happening today in the cloud and the data center, the rate of advancements and the need to go faster, cheaper, I think is unprecedented. I don't know about Andy's been in this industry a long time, but I think it's that industry, at least that I'm finding, they will take the technology as fast as they can get it, as mm-hmm. soon as they can get it. And I think this is where I think you see the growth of data, the growth of Internet of Things. I think it's only going to get worse, mm-hmm. or the demand will only get better. Do you see?
And it's all driven in the intercommunication pattern within the application. So people tend to use the latest Intel CPUs, which are going faster and faster and have more and more throughput. They're now configuring, big memory and flash everywhere, which tends to increase the number of IOs you can do. So everything that's being done is to enhance the throughput of these very large, compute clusters. Mm-hmm. And the network is a very important part of that to not slow the applications down.
Sure, that makes perfect sense. Now, Mario, obviously, silicon photonics is part of this equation. And you were in the keynote in a way today. You were running around the keynote floor with a silicon photonics cable. I've got a serious question for you first, which is, what is the at the root of Silicon Photonics that helps with the economics of the delivering 100 gigabit and faster speeds?
So first of all, as you know, we've been working on Silicon Photonics here at Intel for over a decade, right? Just to give you an idea of how long it's taken to build a technology that didn't exist 10 years ago. But the root of the technology is building optical devices out of mainstream silicon processing to allow us to produce these devices in high volume. Mm-hmm. So we now have technologies that we're producing in our factories, in our fabs. They are capable of producing in a volume factory, so we have, just like Moore's Law, the capability to drive costs down. These are chips that communicate between other chips optically, and now we package them, and so now we have an ability to drive connectivity optically at very high bandwidths.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the high bandwidths, but because it's based in silicon photonics, we can scale that technology. But as Andy was saying, we believe we have the other piece of the puzzle, which is bring in high bandwidth, low cost optical connectivity in and around the server and more importantly in the data center.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in contrast to today where people literally do manual assembly of components under the microscope in some brick production line in China. You know, like little ladies with the little hands being able to optimize mm-hmm. the placement of the fiber. It's just not a very cost-effective
sure.
thing to do, even if your cost of labor is low.
So I think that, you know, one question, this is my non-serious question, is that you were running around the keynote hall with a silicon photonics cable, and I want to know if you knew how many laps you could have made had you not been stopped. And how long is that cable, actually?
So that cable that was there, understand, and we have two different things that we can talk about. So the technology we have that we're introducing with that cable was from Corning, by the way, and we call it a new cable for the data center, which we call MXC,
mm-hmm.
which ironically is a name that Andy came up with, or a logo.
Mm-hmm.
And that cable was 300 meters.
Okay.
So to put it into context, 300 meters is essentially three football fields, right? So that's just one technology. Now, the benefit of photonics is, in your fiber, you can go unlimited distance.
Mm-hmm.
And data centers are much bigger than 300 meters. And as these data centers are growing bigger and bigger, Andy and I, about 4 months ago, right? And at Interop,
April,
we announced a new alliance, which we opened up to the industry to develop a new standard, or open source, for up to 2 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
So this is now a technology that not only covers, you know, couple hundred meters, but we want a technology and a capability that goes out to 2 kilometers, which hopefully scales for the next 10 years as these data centers are getting
right.
bigger and bigger.
And a little more background here, which is 5 years ago in 2009 when the IEEE 802.3 committee had to pick the optic standards for 100 gig, they picked 2 standards. One was 100 meter reach over multimode, which isn't actually long enough for most large data centers these days. And then they picked a 10-kilometer duplex single mode, but the spec was written so it's fairly expensive to make, and it's actually unnecessarily expensive.
Right.
So the problem that wasn't solved is to actually have the connectivity for the kind of reaches and distances that are required in the cloud, which is this 1 to 2 kilometer range. And that's what the CLR4 Alliance is addressing, is to come up with a spec that, you know, everybody can support. And we have now 29 public supporters and more that are non-public, that all have committed to, you know, make or use these parts and promote this spec, because this is what's needed to actually turn on the 100 gig market, is to have a low-cost optics that can do this.
So, Andy, where is your vision for where this is going long-term in terms of driving this core capability? Obviously, it starts with what you've introduced for CSPs today, but where do you think that this is going to go in 3 years' time and five years' time?
There's been some talk in the industry that the ultimate potential of silicon photonics is you can put it right on the CPU chip, but that's really, really far out, and it may in fact never happen because the processes involved are actually not the same. The important thing about silicon photonics is just cost reduction and volume manufacturing, and those, of course, go hand in hand, which is today, not just today, you know, for the foreseeable future, the cost of optics completely dominates the cost of these 100 gig network solutions. And it is because nobody else can make 100 gig optics in a cost-effective fashion.
Yeah, and I think this is the, you know, what we always call about integrated silicon photonics. So it's not just building devices in silicon, it's the ability to integrate lots of those devices. So, you know, we talk about 100 gig today.
Mm-hmm.
But companies and industry, and even, you know, my friend right next door is already asking, when can I get 400 gig? And we have, on the HPC side, if you look at aggregate bandwidths, they're already asking for 1-2 terabit plus. So the value of integration and the value of silicon photonics is it's a solution that will continue to scale as we integrate more components together. We continue to drive frequency or speed up. And so this is a technology that not only will deliver today's solution, but we believe will continue to scale to multiple terabits in the future as we drive our performance and our CPU performance up.
Yeah. And one more point on this, which is today the most common interface at the server level in the cloud is actually 10 gigabit. Mm-hmm. Next year that may go to 25, then to 50, and sooner or later it actually will be 100 gigabit to the server, which then drives up to 10 times the throughput on across the whole fabric. So there really isn't a hard limit of how much bandwidth people want. It's simply a question of cost performance. People will deploy more bandwidth if it becomes cheaper.
Take advantage of
the fact that they can deploy more bandwidth as the costs come down. Yeah.
So when we take a look at this from Arista's perspective, what is your vision for Arista's role in making this transition happen, and how do you work with other industry players, like in things like the industry consortium that you talked about?
Right.
What are the key things?
Yeah. So we have said publicly that we don't make our own chips, we don't make our own optics. We work with the best of breed suppliers of chips and optics to build our systems. And that formula has served us very well. I mean, there's very significant investments required to make silicon photonics, on both the manufacturing, the technology development, and so on. And, we do benefit from the fact that, strong companies like Intel have been working R&D in this space for many, many years and are, on the verge of bringing these kind of products to market.
What do we expect in terms of deployments over the next 12 months now that products are available in the marketplace? Are we starting to see evaluations? And
well, it's still early days, okay? Mm-hmm. So the demand is there, but the volume adoption requires the optics to be in volume manufacturing.
Yes.
And I think we've said earlier that maybe about a year out.
Okay.
Yeah, I think if you look at if you look at the industry, there's always the lead adopters and the people out front, and then there's the mass market adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's two things here. One is, as Andy talked about it, one is what I'll call merchant silicon.
Mm-hmm.
So, merchant switch silicon, which if you look at the top of the rack out, is starting to sample today at 100 gigabit per second. And that will probably get into volume production in the second half of 15.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Andy? Right. And so, on the silicon photonics front, we actually have 100 gig capability today. We've been sampling that to customers, and we'll be launching that technology in various applications, and we'll be ready for the not only the early adopters, but we'll be ready for the volume market adoption in the second half 15 and as we go into 16.
Now, you guys have spent a lot of time talking about cloud service providers, and obviously they are the earliest users of technology. They will integrate more quickly than anybody else. But beyond the cloud service provider data center, where else are the market opportunities for this technology?
Yeah, so the enterprise is a little slower here in the sense that the traditional applications, which are more like vertical siloed stacks running on individual mm-hmm. machines, just don't have those kind of network bandwidth requirements. Having said that, there's an increasing interest and adoption in enterprise for private clouds, sort of not the same scale as the service provider, but maybe it's a couple of racks or a corner of the data center where they're running some Hadoop cluster, where they have actually exactly the same connectivity and bandwidth requirements as the large cloud service provider. So
mm-hmm.
there will be pockets of deployment early on, and then perhaps more wider over time as people fully virtualize their workloads and go to these purely software-defined data centers. But it will take long in the enterprise because people have a lot of legacy investments that just take time to roll over. Whereas in the cloud, people just deploy the latest and greatest as soon as it works.
Yeah, and I think the other areas we talk about the cloud and whether it's public, private, enterprise, another big area is the high performance computing segment,
mm-hmm.
right? So these are, systems and machines that, have lots of nodes that are all connected, but every rack is fully meshed with every other rack and connectivity. And so the biggest issue there is just the connectivity. And so they're having the same thing. The physical layers or the IOs are going to 25 gig. We announced a TruScale Fabric or OmniScale Fabric, which is the next generation, which will be coming out at 25 gig. So another big area where we see the need and the want for photonics and silicon photonics is in high performance computing, where you're putting 50, 100 systems together.
Sure.
These are 20 megawatt, big, massive power reduction. The cabling there alone, the weight, and so these are areas where not only they benefit from the speed, but the lightweight, the thinness, the lightness, the airflow capability of high-performance systems is begging for silicon photonics and or photonic connectivity in and around those systems.
And to be more specific, at 25 gig per channel, the maximum reach with conventional, you know, twin-X copper cable is basically 3 meters. So it may work within the rack, but for any multi-rack installation, you actually need an optics solution.
Right, so I would assume that that is a real limiter to high-performance computing unless they move to optics.
Yeah, no, at 10 gig per channel, I mean, these links ran 5 to 7 meters, and at 5 gig per channel, you could run them 20 meters. Mm-hmm. But as the speed goes up, the reach in the copper goes down inversely.
Well, guys, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today. I learned a lot, and we'd love to have you on again in the future as you guys make progress towards this vision.
Well, thank you so much, and it's been a pleasure working with Arista, and it's a pleasure. Thank you, Andy, for coming.
Thank you.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.